Welcome back. It's been very interesting here, you know, hanging out with our beloved pastor, question and answer time with Pastor Moses Alu. And he has answered a lot of questions, and we have more questions coming in. So please keep sending your questions, keep calling, and Pastor is still here. He's going to answer those questions by the Issachar anointing. God bless you. So more questions coming in. Yes. Hello, Daddy. I can't thank God enough who actually led me to the truth for my genuine salvation through your teaching. My question is about communion. I'm somehow battling with the use of alcoholic wine. Please, Daddy, help me get more light on this. Okay? Sir, I also had a revelation where I encountered Brother William Branham. He said to me, Pastor Moses is to explain some seemingly controversial statements he did make while on earth, okay, preaching the message. Please, what do you say about this? Brother Edmond from Ghana. Brother Edmond Again from Ghana. Okay, God bless you.
Is that
you.
Second part again?
Okay, the second part.
That second yes. part, sir.
Sir, I also had a revelation where I encountered Brother William Branham. He said to me, Pastor Moses is to explain some seemingly controversial statements he did make while on earth preaching the message. So what do you say about this? Is it true or false?
Your second question, perfectly and very, very true.
Amen.
The greatest problem in the end time message is the misplacement of this end time message.
Wow.
Through wrong understanding of statements made by William Branham on various issues. And I thank God that God has given me measure of grace to understand, and Hallelujah. That is exactly what I am preaching.
Amen.
So, yes, what you saw, the revelation you saw, is true. And that is why we, with the opportunity we have through the Bright Television,
Hallelujah.
We don't shy away from really bringing it out the way we see, the way we understand. Remember, it's not that there is any extra thing anywhere other than bringing everything back to the Bible. And anybody that will do that, you line up your revelation, there will be no confusion.
Amen. Come back to the Bible.
Yes.
So Pastor Moses has no other message.
I don't have anything else other than a proper understanding of what William Branham taught. Even not for that ministry, I don't know where I would have been today.
The Reverend Apostle.
Yes. And the other question is about communion. Why there will be wine in the communion, just as explained earlier in one of the questions.
Yes, sir.
That everything about the communion must speak something about the body and blood of Jesus. The
Amen.
Bread must have something to do with his sinless body. That's
Amen.
Why it is unleavened. And the wine, the alcohol in the wine, speaks of the preservative power that is in the blood of Jesus,
Hallelujah.
Which is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And when you receive the Holy Ghost, it is wine. It is, you know, it is revelation is intoxicating.
Mm.
And when they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they thought they were drunk.
Amen.
So that is speaking about the alcoholic, the effect of what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The excitement you get.
Amen.
Above all, the preservative power.
Amen.
In the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you very much, all the way from Ghana. God bless you. We have more questions coming in. Elisha Ejovokwe Essie from Delta State. Shalom, sir. I was once in church where the pastor preaches real truths, but later he ended up in adultery and later he died. When you say once saved, forever saved, what can you say in the case of this pastor? Also, if the gospel returns to the Jews, meaning salvation of the Gentiles is over, so when will the saved Gentiles be on earth or in paradise?
That last part, when?
Yes. If the gospel returns to the Jews, meaning
where
salvation of the Gentiles over, when will the saved Gentiles be on? Where? Okay. When? No, when? Speaking of time. When will the saved Gentiles be on earth or in paradise?
No, that's why I'm a bit confused. I don't know. I hope this question is properly put.
Yeah, I don't think the question is from your own teaching. Maybe it's from a previous teaching you asked from somewhere else.
From somewhere else.
Yes, sir.
Well, according to the divine agenda, the rapture takes place.
Amen.
Then the gospel goes back to Israel. So where will we be in the rapture? We'll be with the Lord in the air, according to
divine agenda.
The divine agenda, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Hallelujah.
So we will be there.
Okay.
And then until he finishes with the Jews, cleanses the earth, rearranges the earth, binds Satan, put him in a bottomless pit, so there will be no more trouble for
Amen.
The Prince of Peace is coming to earth Amen. With us. And we will come and then take over the earth and rule for 1,000 years
Hallelujah.
Before the white throne judgment.
Amen.
And then we enter the eternal age.
Amen.
That's the divine agenda.
By the Issachar anointing.
Now, concerning...
Once saved, forever saved.
Once saved, forever saved.
Yes, sir.
First and foremost, nobody goes to heaven because he's a pastor.
Amen.
The evidence that you are a child of God is not determined by your ministry.
Hallelujah.
So when you say a pastor that was preaching the truth
and was found in adultery, and he died.
Now we're not looking at the fact that he, if we are to judge him, we are to place him rather. Now, it is whom God loves that he chastens.
Amen.
That he died. To me, it's evidence that it's a seed of God.
Wow.
Because that itself is punishment.
Mm.
Those who are not the children of God, they even marry two wives, three wives, and anointing is continuing. Nothing will happen. They prosper in their iniquity. But the seed of God can never prosper in iniquity.
Amen.
So that he killed him, that God took him away, is the evidence that he is
a seed of God.
And I can give scripture to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Okay.
Now from verse 13.
Oh, okay. Every man's work shall be made manifest.
Yes.
For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire.
Yes.
And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Yes.
If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
He shall receive a reward.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss.
Yes.
But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
So you can see that he will lose his reward, but his soul will be saved.
Amen.
There's a commentary also in chapter 5.
Okay.
Concerning the man that was found in adultery. There is a statement that the punishment that should be given to him is in verse 5.
Okay. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh.
For the destruction of the flesh.
That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord
you
Jesus.
See? So it can die. This place, but you can be destroyed. That is his punishment.
Amen.
And you lose all your reward. But you are a child of God.
Amen.
You will not live long.
Amen.
You will not have peace.
Amen.
One sickness or the other will strike you.
Amen.
No prayer will save you.
Amen.
Because it is father and child relationship.
Hallelujah.
Remember, we are not going to heaven because we are good.
Mm.
We are going to heaven because he has adopted us.
Amen.
With the spirit of adoption.
Hallelujah.
And made us, given us a spirit of sonship.
But we cry about
father. There's nothing a son will do to a father that he will know, that will cease to be his father.
Amen.
And once he has given you the Holy Ghost, he cannot take it back.
Amen.
Since he cannot take it back, you can end your life on earth before you disgrace him.
Amen.
It happens.
Okay, so once saved, forever saved.
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay, more questions coming in. Oh, sir, is it a sin for a Christian to play? Okay. Brother Samson from Kaduna State. This is a very interesting question, sir. Is it a sin for a Christian to play or watch football game?
That's sports. Football is sports.
Mm.
And people make career of it.
Mm.
There's nothing sinful in it.
Okay.
What makes it sinful is when the love for it, overshadows or affects your spiritual life so much that when it is time to do something spiritual and it clashes with the football, then you know where your heart is.
Okay.
So when it reaches where it has to control you, then you now know that it becomes sinful. But it is a sport and it is also a career, and there is nothing sinful about it.
Okay. But one could say it's a worldly sport. Is there anything like a worldly spot?
No, everything is worldly. Go carry your clothes and go and open shop and sell in the market. It's worldly.
Okay.
You know, selling material. So that it's a spot. The fact that the whole world is interested in it, you know, is what we get angry is that those same people that are interested in such sports like football, when you call them to hear the things of God, the gospel, a crusade, they will not come. But when they come, so that is the spirit that is in it. And of course, hooliganism goes in there, betting goes
yes,
in there,
that's the gambling
and some
part
gambling part
yes.
goes in there. And if you have not, I mean, if you don't go to that level in it,
okay.
I mean, you have not sinned.
Okay. So a Christian can yes. take football as a career?
Of course. And let, in case anybody is hearing me, I am not a football person. I don't even know any Nigerian football, players. I don't know them. I don't know anything about any football club. I'm not interested in it. It's just not me. Not be interested in it.
Okay.
And when I was in school, my sport was the basketball, and that is where my interest is. You know, it's all sport and nothing.
Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for that.
But I like to be realistic so that somebody will not think I am Chelsea or Man or what is the other group you people call.
I'm not a fan too.
You know, so.
But what about a church now owning a football team?
Now they will have reason for doing that.
Okay.
They will have reason for doing that. They will always have reason. But I'm telling you that going to establish a church, going to establish
a football team,
I have found it very difficult to bring it into the ministry.
Mm.
That is entertainment.
Hmm.
I don't know what aspect of that will glorify the Lord or move the kingdom, advance the cause of the kingdom.
Hmm.
I have said I don't find it.
Hmm.
It's just one of those things the church has been reduced to. That a church will now organize football. Of people to go and they do competition with other football. I don't know how the church are reduced to that level. I don't, you know, they, we are after souls.
Amen.
And there are God ordained way
Amen.
Of going about, you know, to get these souls.
Amen.
But when we now mingle ourselves with the world the way, you know, many churches are doing, you know where it comes to. Like
Amen.
You see them establish schools. You know, build universities, and then they have faculty of this, faculty of that, faculty of this, spend millions, you know. And then to let you know that it's not about trying to educate the people, it's a commercial ventures and things like that. Because I hope you know that football club is a commercial venture and that the players are the commodities.
Of course.
You know, they are
yes,
the stock
sir.
For the club. They sell them.
That's
it's
true.
All about making money. Nothing more. And when they join a league, they share the money that come out of the league. It's all about money, money, money. And some of these schools that are established, it's about money, money. How do I know? I mean, you did not establish the school to help the poor because the poor cannot even afford it. So it is still a class thing. And I'm sorry, I just can't place that with salvation. And there's nothing Christian in it.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. More questions coming in. Brother Peter from Adamawa, God bless you. You're on air.
Hello, sir.
God bless you, sir. Let's have your question.
Yes, sir. I have this question, sir. Okay, can a woman who went out to evangelize and by that a new convert at the same time?
Okay.
That's my first question.
Okay, that's your first question. Can a woman go out and evangelize and baptize a new convert at the same time?
No, now, everybody, all of us that take out to preach the gospel, we know the limit we go.
Okay.
A woman should know the limit you go. You know, so, yes, When you proselyte, anyone you get a proselyte and you get them converted and believe the gospel, you certainly come from a ministry. You certainly come from a church. You're under a pastor. There are evangelists. There are ordained people in that ministry for that job. So you bring the person to that place. And that is also one of the reasons why when women, knowing that when I go there, I will meet people I may baptize. You go with a man. You don't go alone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's even dangerous for a woman to go out alone. Because I think, if you allow me to use the word, endangered species. Because it's dangerous. You know, you walk in there and you can easily be tempted. You can easily be harassed. You can easily, when you go out on personal evangelism like that. But, you know, even Christ, when he sent people, like, he didn't send them one. He sent them two. The reason is because one will complement the other for any reason, spiritual or physical. So you go. So it's expected that when a woman is going on evangelism, you go with a man. So when it is time to do the duty that is supposed to be carried out by a man, the man does it.
Amen.
And then you complement each other as you go out on witnessing.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you very much, sir. More questions coming in. Pastor Miracle from South Africa. Okay, let's hear your question, sir.
Yeah, my pastor in South Africa here. And we are having some challenges, but our challenge is we have members that are dealing on drugs. So I want to know, is it good that when they bring their tithes, is it a scripture or is it nice to collect their tithe and still pray for them, whereby you know that this is what they are doing?
What do they do?
Drugs. Thank you very much, Pastor Miracle. Let Brother Moses answer your question.
It's not every offering that is accepted by God. Offering from a prostitute is rejected by God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The offering must be pure and clean.
Amen.
Even the laws of the land are against drug business.
Amen.
So pastors should stop being enticed to collect tithe from such people. Amen. It is wrong. Amen. I think you, Pastor Miracle, you yourself, you know it is wrong.
Amen.
But maybe you just want some other person to hear it. It is wrong.
Amen. Proverbs 15.
And they know it is wrong.
Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord.
Can you see it? Now that is what the scripture says.
Amen.
The sacrifice of the wicked, the offering of the wicked, they are all abomination unto the Lord.
Amen.
So I will not collect money from a cocaine pusher.
I don't know. Please share your testimony with him, because
it must be following. I've been giving money several times. They come to me and ask me to give me 50 million naira one time. I asked, and they said drug money, paying tithe from drug, 50 million. Of course, I turned it down. Another time was 40 million some years back. And that was the period we actually needed money. Recently, one sat down in my office here. The same seat you are sitting down. I don't know. The same seat you are sitting down now.
Okay.
In my office here. And he came and he needs prayer. He's going to start a new business. Remember one business, prayer prayed for him and he had breakthrough one time.
Wow.
So now he's entering another business. He wants a breakthrough. And I asked, what is the business? He said, you know, I will not lie before you. I'm in the presence of the Lord. He said, it's cocaine business he wants to do. And I said, did you say you know me? No, certainly. He said, but I hear you every time. I'm on the net. I'm on the... I watch you. I said, you watch me, but you don't listen to me.
Amen.
I said, no, it's abomination. Mm. Then I had to counsel him. Use that money and do something else. Amen. And he just came in last week.
Wow.
And told me, thanked me for it. For my counsel, I prayed with him. I told him to give his life to Christ. He's now serious with God.
Hallelujah.
And he said he has just reinvested that money into another line of business. And you're thanking me for it. And I now said, because of that, I bless him.
Amen.
And I said, you watch and see. You will prosper and you have your peace of mind.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
How it should be.
Amen. Thank you, sir. I think that's answered from Pastor Paul. Okay, another question. Shalom, sir. More grace, sir. Brother James from Greece. Is it good for a believer to apply for visa lottery or play lottery at all? My regards, sir.
God.
When you say visa lottery is different from Baba Ijebu.
No,
Niger bet. Gambling.
Yes, sir.
Of any sort. What is visa lottery? We have a number of people we want to give lottery to play your luck. I don't see anything wrong in it. Nothing wrong in visa lottery. What all other lotteries that I know of, that you put this and hope to get millions from it, because it's a lazy man approach to making money. And God did not ordain. You make money by hard work.
Amen.
Now, visa is not making money. It is having opportunity to relocate somewhere as an opportunity given. And everybody cannot go, but this number, if you are lucky, you pray and you do it by faith, and then to have better life anywhere else. So, but all this gambling is just a lazy man's way. Instead of going to work and invest, you want the easy way. God did you ordain us to make wealth like
it's,
that.
It's popular today, sports betting.
It's the same thing. It's money. Nothing more, it's money.
Okay. Brother James from Greece, we hope your question is properly answered. God bless you, sir. We have more questions from our brethren all over the world. And right about now, another question is coming in. Sister Ellen from Spain. Hello, Daddy. My question is, what is the biblical evidence that William Branham is the angel of the Laodicea Church? My name is Sister Ellen from Spain.
Wow. That's a very a serious question. First and foremost, I'll approach it as simple as possible because it's a whole sermon.
Amen.
First and foremost, we see Revelation chapter 1,
amen,
verse 16. In the hands of Jesus, what is it?
And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And he had in his right hand 7 stars.
He had 7 stars.
Amen.
In the same right hand, there we see candlestands.
Okay. Verse 13.
Yes.
Okay, let me start from verse 12, sir. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me.
Very good.
And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks.
Yes.
And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his ears were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars.
Now go to verse 20.
The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand.
Now see the mystery.
And the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches.
Yes.
And the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches.
So we now see that there are messengers.
Amen.
7 of them.
7 church ages.
And we have 7 church ages.
Amen.
Now, but I want you to note there are stars. For each age.
Amen.
We see a pattern in Matthew chapter 2.
Amen.
From verse 1.
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king,
yes,
behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem.
What are they saying?
Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.
And if you read further, the star began to move.
Amen.
And they followed the star.
Amen.
Where did the star lead them to?
To
locate where the king was.
Hallelujah.
That is nothing but what the star messengers are supposed to be in every age.
Amen.
To lead the bride in that age back to Christ the Word.
Amen.
Now, what is the scriptural evidence? His ministry.
Amen.
Spoke for it.
Amen.
It's not any claim. And remember, only the wise will understand.
Amen.
Wise men from the east saw a star.
Hallelujah.
A star is a light giver.
Amen.
Every preacher in the whole world is a star bearer.
Amen.
And they're giving up some light. But we search all of them, all of them seem to be given the same kind of light.
Mm, amen.
But we saw one, the minister of William
Hallelujah, Branham. Hallelujah,
that was
amen.
The one that seemed to be the one that led us to find Christ in the world.
Hallelujah.
In this age.
Amen.
If you know of any, my sister.
Sister Ellen from Spain.
From Spain.
Yes.
If we are in the Laodicean Church age now that we are in, and we are expecting a star messenger also, and we are saying that if you know anyone that the star is better than this one of William Branham's ministry that brought us better to the word of God, they say, well, when we know him, we'll follow him. For now, that's the one we saw.
Amen.
So if you know any, bring him and let's know who he is, because we know that this is the perfecting ministry
Amen.
That will take us in the rapture.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Alright. Shalom. This is from Brother Samuel from Ghana. Shalom. Please, can you explain Jude chapter 1 verse 20? Okay. Most Pentecostal churches interpret it to mean praying in tongues. Where it says building up your most holy faith, then praying in the Holy Ghost. So, Jude 1:20. Okay, I read. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
When you say that is to praying in the Holy Ghost, it depends on how you look at that scripture. Why it cannot be speaking in tongue is because we know that everybody in the church cannot speak in tongue.
Amen.
So praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, the way it is put here, cannot be said to mean everybody pray in tongue. But certainly it will be praying under the leadership of the Holy Ghost, because Amen. You can pray in tongue. In the flesh.
Amen.
You know, that's my understanding.
Mm.
But it's a wrong interpretation that everybody in the church would speak into everybody.
Hmm.
Because Apostle Paul tells in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that everyone cannot speak.
Amen and amen. Amen. Yes. Praying under the leadership
of the Holy Ghost, led by the Spirit of God.
Okay.
And he directs you.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay, more questions. Dear Pastor, this is from Brother Chris, all the way from Netherlands.
Yes.
Once upon a time, you got rid of the chair in your pulpit. After the Holy Spirit rebuked you for bowing down to the chair, why do you now tolerate people bowing at the altar such that it's now virtually a doctrine in your congregation?
Brother Chris, I think you got me wrong. I did not remove the chair because the Holy Ghost rebuked me for bowing before the chair.
Mm.
And I did not bow before the chair.
I was speaking.
I stood and I looked at the seat and I said, I know you are sitting there and I know you are hearing me now in my private prayer.
Mm.
And the Holy Ghost rebuked me. He's rebuking me because the Holy Ghost is everywhere.
Omnipresent.
His presence is everywhere. It's omnipresent. He cannot be sitting there.
Amen.
And the reason I removed it is so that people will not be stumbled and they will think that seat is my seat.
Mm.
They will think that is the pastor's seat.
Mm.
And that is the reason why I removed it.
Amen.
It is not because, and there's no doctrine, it's a prophetic action. It was a prophecy that told me, it's prophetic, and said, give me my seat. And we interpreted it to mean that it should be a physical seat.
Mm.
But we understand rather, give me my honor.
Amen.
Give my honor. We understood that what God was talking is not about a physical seat to be put there, but it is give me my rightful place, give me my own place, and here we honor him.
Hallelujah.
Now what we say, it's not a doctrine, it's a practice, not because it is a doctrine, it's not compulsory. If we have dedicated a place called the altar unto the Lord, and we tell people, you know, I mean, the Lord leads you to go and bow before the Lord. You can choose anywhere to bow anywhere.
That's right.
In my house, I don't have any particular altar, but I like to bow before my God. And then most of the time, I just go on my knees and then on the floor, I put my feet there. That does not mean that I'm worshiping anything that is in front of me there as I'm bowing down. It is just my own ways, exercising my own faith. And we have consecrated a place for prayers in the church. It is consecrated for that. We call it the altar, a meeting point, whatever it is. It's not a doctrine. It's not by force. And it's good that we listen to people like you so that we make sure we make it clear that we did not designate a place, make it an idol where people come there. God answers prayers everywhere. If not, how are those who are watching us online receiving their testimonies?
Amen.
So it's nothing like that.
Amen. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, all the way from Netherlands. Okay, good evening, sir. May God grant you more grace in the ministry. Please, sir, my question is taken from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7 from verse 15 to 20. But I need you to explain verse 19 because that is where my question dwells on. Thank you. May God bless you. Brother Gabriel from Cameroon. Romans chapter 7 from verse 15 to 20. And more especially verse 19. Okay, let me read it. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. His emphasis is on verse 19, so let me read verse 19 again.
No, let's continue from verse 18.
Okay. From verse
18.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Yes.
For to will is present with me.
Yes.
But how to perform that which is good, I find not.
Yes.
For the good that I would, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
But the evil which I would not, that I do.
Yes.
Okay.
The whole of chapter 7, from verse 7 down to verse 25, Apostle Paul is looking at the wretched man that we are. The estate of man.
Amen.
That necessitated
grace. Hallelujah.
There is inside of you. You want to do good. Your conscience. That is why after we have done this evil thing, we regret it. So, you notice that you find yourself doing things that you are not happy doing, but you still have to do it.
That's right.
Does that not link it with the serpent seed thing? That's crept in. So, he then went to verse 21.
Okay, verse 21.
Verse 20.
Yes. From verse 20, now, if I do that, I would not.
If I do what I don't like to do.
It is no more I that do it.
Yes.
But sin that dwelleth in me.
There's something else that is pushing me to do it. Yes.
I find then a law that when I would do good.
If I want to do good.
Evil is present with
me. Evil will still be there.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
I want to serve God. Inside of me, I want to serve God.
But I see another law in my members. Warring against the law of my mind. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members.
And then verse 24.
Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Man needed a deliverer. And then the solution is verse 25.
I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin.
So we thank God, the wretched man that we are.
Amen.
Christ has solved our problem.
Hallelujah.
That's why you must be born again.
Amen.
I hope that explains.
Amen. Okay. I'll take our final question for today. Just one more question and we'll call it good night. Okay, Brother Ifayin from Delta State. Shalom, Pastor. Please help me to explain about 2 Chronicles. About the 2 Chronicles is all about, okay? Because all the kings there started well, but always end up with bad records. Only King Ezekiah that ends well. 2 Chronicles 29, 30, 32. Please, sir, explain to me why those kings end like that, except King Ezekiah. Is it the same restoration or divine agenda? Please help me, sir, from Brother Ifeanyi.
It is simple. When you deviate from the ordinances of the Lord, then you will go off. That is it. Their history was that they did not stay with the commandments of the Lord.
Amen.
Some of them go to idol worshipping. Some of them go to marrying strange wives. All that the Lord told them not to do. They were doing it. Except Hezekiah and others along the line there. So, it's simple. They were disobedient.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you to the man of God from all the brethren all around the world. And we also want to thank you, our viewers, for participating in the program, for asking your questions, for sending your questions. It's question and answer time with Pastor Alu. And till we meet again, we say shalom to the Bride of Christ. Keep watching The Bride TV. God bless you.